A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
Or I struggle most weeks to like get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because like, I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
Do you enjoy this podcast but wish you had more weekly short doses of insights and nuggets? Well, if you didn't know, I recently launched an email newsletter where you can join and connect with a community of like-minded young women around the world, also on the journey of personal growth. This weekly email includes everything from mindful insights and finds, tips on living well, relationships, my personal experiences, and a lot more. Subscribe to get your weekly email newsletter. The link is directly in this podcast episode show notes, or you can head directly to my website at emilyelizabeth.blog and you can sign up from there.
Emily Elizabeth, and I'm the host of the What Fulfills You podcast, a show for and about individuals always seeking to be their best selves. On this show, we talk all about building the mindset, finding the right careers, creating meaningful relationships, and so much more. Welcome to the What Fulfills You podcast. Hello, hello, friends. Happy Tuesday. Welcome back to your weekly dose of What Fulfills You. My name is Emily Elizabeth, and I'm your host for today's short little solo episode. I'm diving into a topic that I somewhat brought up at a recent talk that I had at my university, and this is around being aware of the life and lifestyle you want to live, and also the way role models play into this and why I personally have role models that I keep in mind as I've navigated my life over the years. And I tie all of this in to having a sense of direction of where you want to go in life. And I want to also preface that having a sense of direction doesn't mean that it has to be career oriented or it has to be very specific in the details. I've heard this several times from other creators, entrepreneurs, other people that just have had a level of success in their own life, both in relationships as well as the thing that they do for their profession that they get paid for. And something I've noticed in what everyone always says is that you don't need to know the specific details. You don't need to know the final outcome or end game because in reality, everything kind of changes as you go. But it helps a lot when you know the direction you want to go in. And whether I knew it at the time, early on in my 20s, I definitely was extremely direction oriented and I was able to pivot along the way really well. And I would attribute that to how I landed in the position I am now, which is why I wanted to talk about this today. So something I recognize a lot is, look, not everyone wants to have a career or to, you know, be extremely successful in whatever. And that's not a message that I preach on this podcast. But this podcast is called What Fulfills You, right? And I believe in today's day and time, and also learning from women in their 50s, 60s, and 70s who lived in different times and grew up in different times than we have. All of them, not a single one did I ever hear them not talk about the importance of, as women, to do something for yourself and for your own individuality. And I think the bonus cherry on top is when you can actually do something that makes you sustainable income. You know, it's funny because I'm gonna be really open with this story here. I once had a conversation with one of my friend's mom. And interestingly enough, her and her husband are 17 years apart. That's quite a large age gap, but
they, of course, are like amazing for each other. And of course, they're probably an extreme outlier of such age gap that has worked. And the husband, my friend's dad, extremely successful. And I think by the time he met my friend's mom, he was doing pretty well for himself. And my friend's mom, she was telling me that all her friends told her that, oh, you know, you're super set. You know, you don't even need to work and, you know, all these different things. And they live in a very nice area. And this mom, who's 17 years younger than her husband, she said to me, she looked me in the eye and she goes, you know, Emily, all my friends always said this to me, but I never stopped working. Even when I married, you know, I'm not going to say names, but like she goes, like, even when I married my husband, I didn't stop working despite, you know, all my friends saying I could stop. And, you know, obviously my husband didn't tell me I had to or didn't force me not to. But she said a very funny comment that I do want to share. She goes, you know, Emily, if you don't keep something going for yourself, and in most cases, it's best when it turns into some sort of career, some sort of thing that kind of moves you forward as an individual, something that stimulates you, something that challenges you a bit. If you don't keep that up for yourself, one day the secretary is going to be more interesting than you. Now, whether any of you guys find that comment taboo, whatever, I'm a very open book at this point if you have been listening to the podcast for a while. She told me this several years ago. And by the way, I was at this time, you know, building my very first business. I had already started What Fulfills You at this point. So I was already, you know, kind of building something for myself at the time. And she was kind of saying this more to both, you know, her daughter and then me, of course. But she was telling me this is something she always told her daughters. And I thought about that. And it still sticks with me to this day. And this is actually also, that was the first time I heard that kind of comment. But down the road, I heard similar comments around this, and I see the truth in that. And I've also heard this from male perspective as well. And this is actually coming from men that are quite successful. And maybe this is not even something that needs to be shared with those of you who listen to this podcast, because I'm sure to some degree, those of you who listen, you probably already want to do something more for yourself, right? So that's probably why you listen to the show. But when I hear these themes constantly, to me, it's an indicator of some sort of relative truth, right? And again, that is not to say that you need to go out there and like go be a quote unquote girl boss and, you know, figure your shit out. But I'll tell you, I have found that even with dating, and I'm obviously going on a tangent here, but even with dating, quality, thoughtful men do really enjoy and appreciate when a woman has her own interesting life. And whether she's the CEO of her own company or whether she's just super passionate about fashion or doing really well in finance, whatever that may be, I can assure you that a lot of secure, interesting, thoughtful men really are drawn to that. And I emphasize on this because I've had women come up to me or talk to me about, you know, like, maybe they don't want a career. I'm like, that's totally fine. All I've ever emphasized is that you find a path for yourself that maintains your individuality and continues to spark your interest. And that evolves over time, right? Like for me, my quote-unquote career journey has evolved quite a bit since I graduated college. And I you know, you always have to go with the ebbs and flows of life naturally. But this is also with women who have children. Like, I've heard, actually, funny enough, more tangents. A part-time job I once had in college, I tutored for a pretty semi-well-off family, semi-well-off at the time, probably now much better, but I was helping their kids out with their homework and just making sure they stayed on top of their school, and also helped give them challenging homework and extra schoolwork, because that was what the parents wanted. And I recently met up with them in Irvine, California, and it was after actually I spoke at Chapman University, and I was catching up with them. And this is a family that I said it to the parents. I said, you know, they've known me since I was 18, so it's about 9 years now. And I told them, I never told them this, but I have come to write down their names as a family model that I would love to embody in my own way. I love their marriage. It is values-based. I love the way I've seen over the years, the way the husband treats the wife. I love the way he disciplines his kids. I love the way he keeps them sharp. Like, you know, he's always making sure the children are respectful. You know, I made a funny comment too. I just remember thinking, like, wow, like the boys now, they're well into their teens, 15 and 17. And I heard the dad, you know, nudge them and say, hey, boys, be gentlemen and do this for Miss Emily, or do this, right? And I remember thinking, wow, to have that embedded in your children day after day, whoever gets to date them is going to be, you know, very lucky. And of course, hopefully vice versa. And the mom, the parents are very family first. They're also Christian and faith-based as well. But I asked them about, you know, just basically how they did it. And the mom did also share with me, she's like, you know, the children have always come first. She's like, but I never gave up my career. She is in finance and accounting. And she, I remember at one point she worked at Deloitte. And, you know, she said, like, you gotta always keep that going even when you have children, because, you know, like 15, 18 years fly by. And if you just give up your life for the sake of your children, you know, just a lot of things can drop. And she said, I think they're, you know, maybe in their late 40s now. And she said that.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
Or I struggle most weeks to like get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like, even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Like, 'cause I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
She's seen other people kind of drop everything for the children, and then once the children leave the house and they go to school and whatnot, those parents, particularly the moms especially, tend to feel a little bit lost after, and they kind of give up so much time of their own individual life that it's hard to get back on the horse, so to speak. And so that's something I take to heart too, you know, seeing someone and seeing a family that is super family first, and me being there when the kids were 7 and 8 years old and 9 years old, I saw, you know, like from 7 to 12, I saw what it looked like behind the scenes. And I actually think there's a beauty to that. There is a beauty for me. And at the time too, when I was 18, I didn't know, you know, I didn't think about this shit, right? Like, but now that I'm into my 20s and, you know, I'm thinking about just year after year, day after day, how do I want to live my life, right? And speaking of role models again, who are some of the people that embody this? This is kind of why I went off on a tangent, because I think about this daily, you guys. And I probably thought about this since I was 23 or 24. I started to think about different people that embody values, embody like the way they treat people, the way they raise children, the way they go about their work. I write this down in my journal very frequently. I'll tell you, like, for example, again, that family, I write them down as like a role model on a lot of different fronts, like the way they raise children, their marriage and the way they, you know, work together to build. Also, just like the way the mom has kept up her own life, right? Like working. And, you know, she also talked about, she actually emphasized, again, very fascinating to me that, you know, now that I'm more of an adult compared to back then, they're kind of more open with me now. And they also told me like the importance of encouraging your partner, your spouse in the future to go on that guy's trip. And for her, she was telling me, yeah, I'm going on a girl's trip, you know, next week, you know. And I asked them, is that something you encourage? Is that something healthy? They both looked at me and they nodded their head, right? So it's amazing that I have like role models like that to actually like talk to. And yeah, they're probably only, you know, a little bit more than 20 years older than me. So I really appreciated and respected everything that they told me because they're not too far off. And given their level of success, both in their family and the way they raise their kids, but also in like their careers, like also financially, you know? But outside of people that I personally know, I've always written about like values and the way people hold themselves. I speak about sports a lot, but Roger Federer, for example, arguably the GOAT of tennis in all aspects, not just because of his accolades in tennis, but off the court as well. The way he carries himself, the way he speaks about his wife, Mirka, the way he was even on the court, he never smashed a racket. He was always so calm and poised. And, you know, he always talked about it too in his documentary. He mentioned like he was not the tennis player that got angry and like let it out, you know. And at one point he tried to pretend to be that and he realized like he's just not that tennis player. And, you know, that's funny because that's why, in my opinion, that's why Rolex and Louis Vuitton and other very high-end luxury brands, that's why that they had him as the ambassador and not other top players. And I think that's something to be said because people pay attention to how you carry yourself on and off the court. So that could be like in your case, that could be in and out of the office and, you know, in a relationship and in friendships and on a daily basis to a stranger and then to your family, you know, like those things add up. So that's one person I definitely like admire and like kind of model myself after in some shape or form. And it's also definitely something, considering he's a guy, like I look for maybe some overlap in a male partner because, you know, it's just like these qualities that I want to become more of. And I think when you date someone that do embody some of those qualities, you kind of absorb some of them and you end up, you know, just kind of embodying them yourself, right? You know, the quote, like you're the average of the five people you surround yourself with most. So I think that's very applicable here. But then on the female side, another person that I obviously don't know personally, but I would say Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx. She's also the founder of a new brand called Sneaks. But, you know, one of the reasons why I have her written in my journal as a female role model, interestingly, actually on all fronts too, which is kind of rare, is to be able to find someone that really embodies all the qualities you want. But I love that she's got an entrepreneurial spirit, that she's created her own thing. And she also sold it for, I think, $1 billion. I think she sold Spanx for $1 billion. And she's just really the type of woman that has lived life, like really lived life to the beat of her own drum. She met her husband at 37 and he was 39 or 40. And you know, some of those like toxic shit that you'll see on social media where, you know, stupid men are saying, oh, women lose their value after like this age. I don't know if any of you guys have ever seen that, but let me tell you, it's kind of funny because I think Sarah Blakely is someone that has won. If she ever hears this, I would like fucking love to talk to her. But I really think that she's someone that has quote unquote won at a lot of aspects in life because, yeah, she met her husband later in life. But look, they're both successful billionaires individually. Not that that matters, but I'm kind of heightening that because it's even more ironic. They're both extremely successful in their own independent way. They're both very family first, family values. They have four children together. They're still married. And you guys know, right? If we're always watching, you know, these people that are celebrities or successful people, it seems to be kind of harder when you're so successful and so in the spotlight to actually maintain a marriage, a family, and all of that, you know? And so when I see Sarah Blakely, obviously from afar, just the way she holds herself, the way she speaks, she's such a sharp woman, but also such a freaking mom. You could just see the mom energy in her. She's so wholesome. And Jesse Itzler, her husband, is also so wholesome, which is why it's no surprise that, you know, a successful, grounded, humble guy like Jesse Itzler, you know, again, I only know them from afar, right? And of course, I don't know everything about them, but even just the way they speak, when you see them in videos and podcasts and things like that, you can just tell that they're both very wholesome, and probably why Jesse is not like looking for the quote unquote younger woman, right? Like he's probably looking for someone that's actually his equal and someone that he cherishes and someone where he like loves her character, loves her values, right? It's kind of that saying like you'll meet someone where you're at and vice versa. And so for me personally, I've always kind of looked at her life in a way where I'm like, wow, especially like, you know, I don't expect and you know, I'm not really shooting to sell a $1 billion company, but just to have my own thing that is as prominent as hers, Sarah Blakely, to have my own thing, to be as humble and grounded as her, and to have a family and a partner that is also just as like grounded and loving and very family first, to me, that's also huge on how I want to go forward in my life, you know? And I think it's amazing when you can kind of think about these role models and think about the values and the way they live. Think about like, why is it that that's attractive to you, you know? And all that to say, the reason why I love having this mindful practice of who are some people that embody a life that is similar to how I want to live is because then I often can work backwards from, okay, what are those things that I love about how each person lives? Okay, so what can I do today and tomorrow and over the next few months and over the next few years? What are some main practices that I can do to go towards that direction, right? So you see, I'm not going towards like a, okay, how can I sell a $1 million company or how can I scale this to XYZ? Like I'm not looking at it from a logical lens per se, but I'm looking at it solely in a direction-oriented lens. And so I also think about then, what are some activities I can do to be around more women like this person? What are some activities I can do to be in similar rooms where I might find people that also embody some of these qualities that I love to be around? You know what I mean? Those are the things that you can do on a day-to-day basis. Especially for me, I live in New York. I love this city. And my audacious dream is to truly like be here and be in New York and call it my home base, you know? That's been probably a dream since I moved here. And it's audacious and it's crazy because obviously, you know, the cost of living in New York is nuts. But for me, I grew up in 18 years of rural farmland in a state called Pennsylvania. For those of you who are outside of the US, it's agriculture, a lot of farmers there. And I appreciate so much of where I grew up, but I think as I inched towards the metropolitan life, I just feel like this is the kind of place for me. And you know, I had my time in Southern California where I lived right by the beach and I barely stepped foot in the beach, you know, I just really cared about the views. And I share all of that, the location aspect as well, because you also have to consider your location and the environment. Where is it possible, or what's the probability rather of meeting these types of people? Because in bigger cities, right, if you have big dreams, if you, you know, want to
kind of challenge yourself or be in rooms where, yeah, you are the small fish, which I really enjoy because there's always room to grow and level up in whatever shape or form. You gotta kind of think about that. Like for me, if I was still in my small town in Pennsylvania, that just would be nearly impossible. Or if I was even in Philadelphia, as beautiful of a city that is, it's just not where, you know, for example, like the top of the game is, right? Like if you wanted to, you know, break into the, you know, if you wanted to write a book and you want to break into the space, right? Your best shot is actually being in New York. Or if you want to be in the music industry or entertainment industry, probably New York or LA, right? And that same with like modeling, it's probably like New York and Paris. And again, it would kind of depend on like what specifically, but like the top of the game, everyone kind of funnels into certain environments, and you have to think about that too, you know, because I think the leg up I had was going from a small town in Pennsylvania and then going to Southern California, which is probably, looking back, like a very smart and strategic next step, because my life probably could have been different. Maybe it would have been harder if I went from Pennsylvania to New York City right away, or like Pennsylvania to, I don't know, I'm like, all right, fuck it, I'm gonna go to London or something. Like, that would have been a huge extreme change. Not that it's impossible, I'm sure it would have been fine, but I think going from Pennsylvania to Southern California and then going from like Orange County to LA and then LA to New York, like it just really worked out in a great ladder, you know? And so as I was exposed to bigger environments where people are doing bigger things and thinking bigger, that also expanded my mind on what is possible. So keep that in mind if you're currently living in a town or a city that you do feel a little bit stagnant in. Maybe a change in environment isn't too bad, or maybe you can find a way to change your environment within the city you're at until you can do a physical move. For me, again, I did that in Southern California. I went from Orange County, which is south of LA, about 45 minutes. I went from there to Los Angeles. I moved to Venice, California. And while it's pretty much still in the same vicinity, LA is obviously a bigger city. It obviously moves at its own pace, and it's obviously more artistic. And, you know, LA is a bigger metropolitan city. But as I was visiting New York during that time, I was like, New York City and even European cities is definitely more for me. I love that kind of fast pace, that global citizen mindset, the different languages, the different architecture, the way we dress. Like, I really love that. But I found that out through doing the thing that I think would make sense to me. And it really confirmed my thoughts on, okay, this is the direction I'm going to go in. And then I made my move to New York. All that to say, I certainly don't have my life figured out, and no one does either. But if you are adamant about, hey, I want to build a foundation for my life, I want to feel like I have a purpose each day and that I'm working towards something, these are things to think about. Start with maybe role models, people that you know in your life or people that you don't know. Write them down. Think about why they are your role models in the first place. What is it about them that you like? Write down every single aspect. It could even be something as silly as, I like the way this girl dresses, right? Could be as simple as that. And then think about lifestyle. Think about, what would your ideal day look like? What would your ideal lifestyle look like? Who are you spending it with? How are you spending it? These are the things that I worked through over the years, and I'm continuing to revisit each year. And so sometimes it changes and sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes you realize, like, okay, this is exactly how I envisioned it, and this is really aligned for me. So this is all a personal process, and I encourage you all to think about it as you're on your own journey of personal growth. And I'm so appreciative that you include me and this podcast on your journey. As always, if you enjoy this podcast, it would mean the world if you could take 5 seconds to rate and review the podcast on Spotify and or Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen. You can watch the full-length videos with guests on YouTube. All of that is linked in the show notes. And of course, you can snag the card game, the journal, and the hoodie, all of the fun merch at whatfulfillsyou.com. Everything is linked in the show notes as always, and I will talk with you all in the next episode.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
or I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult, but I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Like, 'cause I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.